Okay, maybe we need to go over this one more time.
Do we have to?
Well, sweetie, I don't know if you're getting a good grasp of the ratios here.
Fine.
Okay, all right, step by step. Before we spend any money, what's the first thing that we do?
Give to God.
Good. And why do we do that?
Because he first loved and gave to us.
Good. Good, good, good. Okay, great. Now, the second jar here is for so many different things.
Hold on.
What?
God lives in heaven, right?
Yeah, he lives in heaven.
And heaven has streets paved with gold, right?
Streets paved with gold. Sure, yes.
So why does he need my money if I don't even have a job?
Okay, all right, so good question. So basically when we give to God, we're giving to the church.
So the church gives the money to God?
No, the church keeps the money.
Oh, does God know about this?
Yes, he basically built the system, yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay. See, sweetie, as you grow up, there is nothing better than giving back to God. In the Bible, it's the only place God says, test me on this. When it comes to your money, he says, test me. It's almost like he's saying, I dare you. And your mom and I, we do just that. Even when things are tough, we always give the first part of our money back to God. And then the church takes that money and does all kinds of things to make God famous, like camps and mission trips and even VBS that you love so much, and even helps out people that are in need. You can't outgive God. And when God says test him and you do it, he will come through every single time.
Okay, Dad, I get it. I do have one question, though.
Oh, okay.
Why do we need to test God if he already knows all the answers?
That's good. Let me just retrace my steps here just for a minute.
Our scripture today comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9, beginning with verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, and not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. Hey, if you want to follow along with my outline, remember you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. Well, we are continuing our series, Transformed Life. I don't know about you, but I need one, a transformed life. My life is not completely put together. I make mistakes. I miss the mark. I stumble, I fall. In many ways, my own sin leaves me bruised and broken. I need help, and I am glad to know that God wants to help. So far in this series about the transformed life, we've talked about preparation, priming the pump to get the spirit, the living water flowing. And then we've said we got to be committing to prayer to keep the living water flowing. We've talked about jumping in with both feet, being active participants regularly in the body of Christ and in worship. Today, we come to a very important element of our growth in the Christian faith. This part of it opens God's richest blessings to us. I'm talking simply about pennies in the fountain. When you throw pennies in a fountain, you release them, you give them away. Giving is an essential and vital part of the Christian faith. Post giving in the chat. I'd like to focus on several points about giving today. First of all, giving is a crucial aspect of the Christian life. Consider these words from Psalm 103:2. Praise the Lord, I tell myself, and never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He ransoms me from death and surrounds me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. Our whole concept of giving corresponds to how God has given to us. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thank God for His Son, a gift too wonderful for words." Giving is such an integral part of the Christian faith because God is so very generous to us. He gives to us in order that we might pass along His blessings to others. Jesus said in Matthew 10:8, "Give as freely as you have received." In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9:8, we read, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." Wouldn't that be great? To be so blessed that you had plenty left over to share with others. Well, that's exactly what God intends. He wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing. He wants to free us from financial fear. A man came to his pastor and he said, "Pastor, man, I've really got a problem. When my income was, $5,000, to tithe $500 wasn't that much. But now that I'm making $150,000, to give $15,000 is just too much." Well, the pastor said, "Hey, let's pray about that." And so he began to pray, "Lord, I pray that you will reduce this man's income to the $5,000 that he used to have so that he'll be able to afford to give." Now, giving can be a very touchy and personal issue for all of us. We might need some persuading. So let me raise the obvious question, why should we give? And I'm going to give you just three reasons from an exhaustive list of reasons provided in the Bible. First of all, giving reminds us that God has given us everything we have. The idea of stewardship is that we don't own or earn anything. Rather, God gives it to us to be good stewards. Deuteronomy 6:11 contains this warning. "When you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord." We can forget the Lord. We can forget what God has done for us. Then in Deuteronomy 8:17, we read, "You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced all this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth." I hope that that never happens to you or me, that we begin to think that, "Look what I've accomplished. Look what I've done." Remember, it is God who gives you and I the ability to produce wealth, to earn money, to prosper. One key to understanding stewardship is this. We give because God has given us everything we have. That is amazing to think about. All God has provided for you. A second reason for giving is that it demonstrates where our priorities lie. The Bible says that we're to seek God's kingdom first. So how do we know that God is first in our lives? Well, in a very practical way, by our giving. Our giving is a practical demonstration that God has first place in our priorities. Deuteronomy 14:23 spells it out for us. "The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to fear the Lord your God." Jesus also made it clear when he explained one of the bedrock principles of life found in Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You don't have to tell me what's first in your life. Just show me your bank statement. Where we spend our money, our time, and energy indicates what's really first in our lives, what we really worship. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart and your thoughts will be also. My desire for all of us as people of God is that we demonstrate how God is our top priority by our giving. That's what really demonstrates that we put God first. There's a powerful third reason for giving. It allows us the chance to prove God is real. That's one of the biggest questions on the minds of many people today. Is God real? The amazing thing is that God has provided a practical way he can prove himself. Consider this great text from Malachi 3:10, which states, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord Almighty, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you." That is a great challenge from Malachi 3:10. God says, try it. Let me prove that I'm real. God is saying, give generously to kingdom work and you will not go without, but instead you will be blessed. Try it. Test me in this. Here's another practical question. How much should I give? Post much in the chat. Now, this is a question that every person has to answer individually, and it's the church's responsibility to help people to find the answer through a biblical point of view. With that said, understand that the biblical standard for giving is the tithe, which is 10%. Now, some people don't understand the definition of a tithe. One Sunday, an offering plate was passed. A little boy reached up and pulled off his tie, and he put that into the offering plate. His dad asked, "Why did you do that?" The boy replied, "Well, the pastor said that at this time we'll take up our tithes and offerings." The word tithe means 10%. Leviticus 27:30 clearly states, "One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the field or from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy." The first 10% is to be returned to God. Jesus affirmed the Old Testament standard of the tithe in Luke 11:42. "You should tithe," he said, "yes, but do not neglect the more important things." Tithing is a means of recognizing that God has given me everything, that God is the top priority in my life, that I'm going to follow this biblical principle of giving. This principle needs to be taught not only to children, youth, and adults, but it must be boldly practiced by pastors and staff, by the leadership of the church. I think we need to demonstrate bold leadership in what it really means to give. Kathy and I we practice the tithe. How do we do that? Well, each month we have the church automatically draft that 10% of our income from our bank account. We've got it set up to happen automatically because we know that's what we want to do. I know some of you are thinking, but I'm barely getting by on what I make. I'm perhaps one paycheck away from being homeless. I can barely pay my bills. How can I give up 10% of my income? I heard of a single mom who was in that situation. She hadn't grown up with tithing or even giving sacrificially. Her parents had given a token offering to the church each week, and that was it. Well, she heard a sermon on tithing. She felt God was telling her to tithe. So even though she had very little left over after paying her expenses each month, she began to tithe. Regardless of what other bills she had or other things she might want to do with her money, she sent that money in each week. after a few months, she noticed something strange. Even though her income hadn't increased and she hadn't reduced any of her expenses, as far as she knew, she always had money in her account. Whereas before, sometimes things were so tight that she'd overdraft her account. Now, there was always enough. She said she didn't know if God had maybe supernaturally changed her spending habits so she wasn't spending as much before, or if he was supernaturally depositing money into her account, but things had changed for her. One of the most freeing and liberating things that happens in the lives of so many believers is when they come to that point where they say, God, I want you to be first in everything I do. Now, don't just take my word for it. I would suggest you find some people who tithe their income and ask them about God's faithfulness. I guarantee you they will tell you enthusiastically about the freedom and the benefits they've personally experienced because they tithe. J.L. Kraft, head of the Kraft Cheese Corporation, who had given approximately 25% of his amazing income to Christian causes for many years, this is what he said. He said, "The only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I have given to the Lord." My own dad, he used to say to me and my brothers and sisters, he'd say, "For years, I was robbed of the blessing of tithing because no one taught me about it. No one challenged me to step out in faith, to trust God, and to prove He was real." As a pastor, I think one of the things that shuts down many folks from growth in Christian faith is that we want to do a lot of things, but we're not willing to let go of our money. You see, where we put our money indicates where our values, our priorities really are. So what a joy it is for the church to teach and to give people the opportunity to step out in faith with God. Now the last question, how should we give? We talked about why we should give and how much we should give. Now, in what spirit should it be done? Well, don't make it a mechanical thing, something we do out of duty. The Bible speaks very clearly about the attitude we should have when we give. First, we should give willingly. Post willingly in the chat. We're not to do it because the church makes us feel guilty. We're not to do it because we want to impress somebody. We're to do it willingly, joyfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives what? Cheerfully." Sometimes churches do try to pressure people into giving. Sometimes people, they give out of guilt. Sometimes people believe they don't have an option. We must all understand that the greatest joys in life come when we respond to how God has given to us by cheerfully and willingly returning His tithe. When we ask, just like the psalmist David did in Psalm 116, 12. "What can I offer the Lord for all He has done for me?" Then we are giving willingly. Secondly, we should give sacrificially. We want to give willingly. We're also challenged to give sacrificially. C.S. Lewis wrote this about sacrificial giving. "The only safe rule is to give more than we can spare." Now that's sacrificial giving. Consider the beautiful story in Mark 12 about sacrificial giving. Mark 12:41. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped their money in. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 small coins. Jesus called His disciples to Him and He said, "I tell you what, I'll tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. They gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. This story reminds us, it's not the size of the gift, but the heart of the giver that counts. Though a small amount, this woman was giving everything she had. Every church I've ever pastored has these sacrificial givers. People who, percentage-wise, give way above the tithe. I'm always humbled and I'm blessed by them. What compels them? What compelled this woman? I suppose, in addition to great love for God and His kingdom, these persons have a strong conviction that, hey, you can't outgive God. They give sacrificially because they are convinced it's the most worthwhile thing they can do. Though they may not have much money, they are convinced giving to God's work is worthy of their sacrifice. So, in what spirit should we give? Willingly, sacrificially, and thirdly, expectantly. Post expectantly in the chat. Think about this amazing truth we find illustrated in the scripture. The more we give, the more joy we get out of life, and the more God gives back to us. Jesus Himself said in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." What a great promise from Jesus. Give, and it will be given to you. Think of what that means for your life. Are you out there walking in faith with Jesus? Is your giving a good model for your kids, for your grandkids? In what spirit do you approach God and your giving? I've given you some reasons to give. Watch this video for some more of them. I love that. We give because God gave and gives and will never stop giving. That is great news for all of us. Amen? Amen. Hey, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we give because You have first given to us. We give because all we have is from You. Lord, we give because there are a lot of people in need. We give because we want to be like You. As we give to Your kingdom in hopes of changing the world, we learn that you also change us, change our hearts. Lord, we are thankful that you gave, that you give, and that you will never stop giving. Help us to have ever-increasing faith and generosity in our giving. In Jesus' name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send those to us. We want to hear from you. We want to pray for you and with you, and thank you for your generosity. You know what? Your ongoing gifts are helping us to care for people who need Jesus and to reach out to people who are in need. Hey, you can go online. You can use the app or the website anytime to make your gift. Be sure to take advantage of all of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, God gave, and God gives, and God will never stop giving. And God encourages us to test him in our giving, to try it out and see if he won't bless us. It's part of the great adventure. So let's go for it. Let's give generously.
So what do you call spiders that have just got married?
Spiders that have just got married. I don't know.
Newlywebs.
The United Women in Faith are having a bake sale on Sunday, November 6th. This year, we are pleased to offer a recipe book featuring fan favorites from the last 50 years. Come by the bake sale, pick up your copy for just $5, and grab some treats to take home as well.
We are so excited to offer a fellowship time for women of CUMC. Our women's brunch will be on November 5th at 10 a.m. All women in the congregation are invited to attend and bring a friend. Please sign up at the Connect Center, on our website, or on our app.
Our November 2nd First Wednesday is all about John 3:16 mission. John 3:16 has served homeless men, women, and children since 1952. They serve 330 meals per day and distribute as many as 7,000 food baskets annually. Cindy Webster, their volunteer coordinator, will share her incredible testimony. Look for a list of items to bring in the newsletter. First Wednesday, a meal, a mission, a message.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.